Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew's gospel. And from that part of Matthew's gospel where already Jesus is beginning to turn his attention toward Jerusalem, where his earthly journey will end, as we know. And even early on, even as he's really immersed in the teaching and the preaching and the healing that he does throughout Galilee and Judea on this sort of slow meandering trip toward Jerusalem, even when he's very much in the midst of that phase, which is in so many ways a joyful, wonderful phase of his ministry, he is already beginning to see where things are tending and the kind of confrontation that faces him ultimately. And so you'll hear a touch of that, I think, very much in this reading from Matthew. Jesus put before his disciples another parable. The kingdom of heaven, he said, may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? And the master answered, an enemy has done this. And the slaves replied, well, do you want us to go and gather the weeds? The master replied, no. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with it. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat into my barn. Then Jesus left the crowds who were listening, and his disciples approached him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weed in the field. And Jesus answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. And just as the weeds are collected and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evil. And they will be thrown into the furnace of the fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. I was always a good kid. I was. Actually, it's probably, I became a good kid. What I always was from the very beginning was a compliant kid. I was a rules kid. It was pretty cut and dry to be a rules kid in my particular family, because there was no judge on earth, there was no Supreme Court, there was nothing that was more scary than my father. And that simplified a lot of stuff. He is not a scary man, but he has this way. In fact, I remember quite vividly, you'd be in your house and you'd be with your friends, and it'd be a Saturday, so your parents were sort of somewhere else, you're somewhere around, and I'd be saying something to someone, and all of a sudden there would be this voice, and it would be my father, and he would say, Max, may I see you for a moment, please? And I would start apologizing, not knowing what I had done, but it was something. I was a supremely compliant kid. Eventually, I grew into a good one. but I began with compliance. And I always was seen in that way, and that was important to me. There's one person who did not think that I was a good kid or a compliant kid, and that was in 10th grade, Mr. Schwery, who I didn't have as a teacher. Mr. Schwery thought I was a bad seed. I don't know how. I think he maybe overheard me joking around with my friends one day, and somehow he, in his mind, made me out to be the ringleader of all of this crime at our school. Not literal crime, but like, that I would be trouble adjacent, if not in the midst of trouble. And Schwery had an eye for trouble. Unfortunately, not only was it not true, Schwery learned his kind of moves from 70s cop shows. So, you'd be at the milk machine in the cafeteria and Schwery would come up. He'd be like, Big Macs. What's the word on the street about the cigarettes found on the playing fields last night? I would be like, I don't know, Mr. Schwery. Like, this is the first I had heard of you. People didn't check in with me on that stuff. Schwery was convinced I knew all this stuff, and I did not. And it was really awful. Not only I was afraid that I was going to get in trouble for things that I hadn't done, things I hadn't even heard about, but in its own way, it was this powerful experience for me about what it actually was like for the kids who were in trouble. And what you felt in that moment, these moments with Mr. Schwery, like, he practically had like Kojak's little lollipop whenever he saw me. Hey, who loves you, baby? But you realized what it was like to be on the receiving end of that kind of stare, that kind of contempt, that, the meanness of it was something that, as far as I know, kids get in trouble and we know that they do, but the look on the face was far out of sort of, I don't know the word I'm looking for, it didn't match what kinds of things these kids were being accused of doing. And yet you wonder what the power of that look, that tone, those moves was going to be on those kids. And I had never thought about it before. Certainly I had never received it before, like I've said. But it was this window into all of that stuff. And so for me, when I read this parable about the wheat and the tares, this notion of the good and the wicked, I can't help but suddenly feel like I'm in 10th grade again, standing at the milk machine next to Mr. Schwery, and he's calling me Big Macs and wondering about the cigarettes. Because it is so easy, I suppose, to just separate the world into the good and the bad. And I think most people, when we read this, read it with the lens of a very dire warning. And so I think you need to hear it carefully. You need to, it merits spending time with, because what I now understand Jesus to be saying is something slightly different than just warning you to stay compliant in the hope that maybe one day you will become good. I think what he's actually saying here is more contained in the moment when he said, when the servants come and they say, you want us to go cut the weed out? And the master says, no, because you might get some of the good when you cut out the bad. And so you've got to let it grow. You've got to let it, you've got to let things take their course and see really what's what. You got to wait. And I think that's so important because it is so tempting in this world to name the bad. But Jesus reminds us this morning, some things that look like they might be bad don't turn out to be that bad. In fact, sometimes you can't quite tell. Sometimes you need to wait. You need to let things show themselves. And so part of what it is to be a faithful person isn't so much the crusading as it is the waiting. So much of what it is to be a faithful person is about cultivating the field and figuring that with a little faith, with a little patience, the true colors will reveal themselves. I've spoken before about going to, sounds weird to call it a middle school reunion. It was a high school reunion, but I didn't stay for that high school. So it was my middle school, but you could still go back. It was one of those schools where, you know, you could start in kindergarten, and I think by the time you were done in med school, like, they'd let you go. It was, you know, a big span of years. And Liz and I went. And one of the first people that I saw there was my fourth grade tormentor. Now that we're on the internet, I won't name him. He knows who he is. I saw my tormentor. And I went over. And I said, you know, hi. Nice to see you, I'm Max. And he was like, he looked at me and, you know, his eyes became like bottle caps. We had not seen each other since probably 1984. And he said, you know, hi, you know. He said, well, what do you do? And I said, I'm a pastor. What do you do? He said, I'm an attorney. And I said, oh. And there was this moment where I wanted to say, I remember that March day in 1980, that Friday afternoon, just after lunch, gym class, where you said that thing. I remember. And I was this close to saying it. But you know, there he was. We're in our mid-40s. A wonderful life. He seems like he has a pretty good life. And I just thought to myself, you know, he's a kid who said a thing one time. He said some stuff to some other people too. But really, he's been the the guy in the black hat for my entire life because of this one thing? And I just thought, you know what? I'm over it. It's all right. Because who can say, even that kid with that rotten thing he said, who can say that he's the weed in anybody's field? He's not. Maybe he was that day. But if I've learned anything in this world, it's that I'm not going to be like Mr. Schwery. And I think that's at the heart of this passage today. What is it to look on the world, to look back at the stories that we carry, to look back or before these people, and say that it isn't really so important to name the wheat and the tares, the wheat and the weeds? That will happen in the fullness of time, and the answers may surprise us. The world is this funny place. We don't end up, few of us anyway, end up where we thought we would. But the point is that what it is that grows inside us, who it is that we become with the help of God. And we grow into ourselves, and we grow into the wheat that will sustain the world with God's help. And may we learn for ourselves a little bit of God's mercy and God's forgiveness and God's infinite, infinite patience as we wait for that day when all things will be known. Amen.